The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello.
Well, hello.
you are listening to We the People Radio. You have joined us again, either on a Sunday or a Monday. Sundays we air from noon to 2 on the West Coast here at KCNR 1460 AM. Mondays we are from 2 to 3. You can hear the first hour of the show in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area on WNJC through the Conservative Commandos Network. And we'll give you a little more intel on those guys in a minute. All that can be found on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. And I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob's in charge of all the buttons, the music, that kind of stuff, just so we can have a division of blame here.
That's right.
We're supposed to do the breaks on time, and then Bob pushes all the buttons. That's our goal.
I push some buttons.
We have low
too.
Goals today.
I push the other buttons.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah.
So I've had some difficulty getting a hold of our guest today just because I dropped the ball last time. My computer got a little virus. It ate the email, and I thought we didn't have a guest. You guys had to hear a rerun. So sorry. But we finally got our act together, we meaning me. I've got to make sure the blame is correct. I could blame Bill.
Yeah, you could.
I could blame Bill.
You could, but don't. I'll
he was there
back.
When the email got, when my my computer got its virus. Anyway, our guest is Joe Gazzardi, the national media director for Californians for Population Stabilization. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
CAPS. He's speaking out on the importance of limiting U.S. immigration through sensible federal policies. Imagine that. The word sensible, I'm sure, gets them in tons of trouble.
When you say federal and sensible.
Sensible, what are you thinking? As an immigration expert with 28 years of experience, he's been interviewed on national TV and radio programs, including NBC, CBS, Fox. He's got syndicated columns on immigration. They've appeared in hundreds of daily newspapers. And I was kind of surprised it appeared in the Huffington Post. I didn't think they were fans of immigration or sensible. Those both seem to be deal breakers to me, but I could be wrong. So how's it going, Joe?
Well, thanks very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners. And yes, I too was surprised when the Huffington Post started to put my material up on their website. But I guess that was a brief temporary effort on their part to try to be fair and balanced, because I submitted a few after that and they were no longer interested.
Oh, they got over you. They read the article all the way to the end and then they were all done.
Yeah, what in the world are we doing with this guy on our site? So, but we did have one brief shining moment, actually two or three brief shining moments with them.
Well, that's fun. So some information actually slipped out to the other side accidentally.
Yeah, and you know, we got some pretty positive comments from readers on that. So
I was going to ask you what the feedback was
really?
On that.
Really?
Yeah, there was some that was predictable from, I suppose, the hardcore Huffington Post readers, but there were also some positive remarks, and I think that's indicative of the fact that the immigration thing, as the years roll by, the immigration problem, as the years go on with the same old status quo, autopilot, million a year and so forth, it's become increasingly obvious to people that might even at one time have been in favor of legal immigration. They're saying, whoa, you know, take a look around and see what's going on. And they're a little more, I think, willing to at least listen to the other perspective.
Yeah, have the conversation about where this thing's going.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, you have things like the Pew Research report that came out just a few weeks ago predicting that immigration at its current level would add 88% of all of the population growth between now and 2050. People read that and they say, wow, you know, maybe it is time to take a look at developing a policy that would help Americans and not just steamroll them with federal policy that adds a million people every year, year after year, no matter what. You know, and mortgage meltdown, still get a million people. Recession, still get a million people. And a lot of individuals in the United States, when those immigrants are accepted, they get work permits and all kinds of federal entitlements. So when you're wondering why there might be so few jobs out there, you've definitely got to take into consideration that over the last 25 years, somewhere between 25 and 40 million immigrants have legally authorized immigrants have been added to the labor pool.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we're not just talking about the illegal side of this equation, where we're just getting overrun with folks jumping the border and now wanting to be counted. I've read some of your articles, and you talk a lot about the abuse of the visa process and things like that as well.
Exactly. When I got started in immigration reform 30 years ago, all of the attention was, or most of the attention, was on illegal immigration. You know, how are we going to better control the border?
And I think that's where most people are. I think most people look at that and go, well, that's where we need to concentrate our efforts.
Yeah. Well, I believe that they are wrong. Where we need to concentrate our efforts now is on legal immigration, not only the million a year that come automatically, but also the 750,000 to a million or so non-immigrant visas that come into the United States every year also. And the abuse of those visas and the unwillingness of the government, the admitted unwillingness of the government to pursue visa overstayers or to monitor the visa applications, which are rife with fraud. I mean, basically, you're getting it from both barrels. You still got considerable illegal immigration, and you've got a whole lot of legal immigration that needs to be cut back immediately.
Why is it? Why do you think we don't hear much about the visa side of this equation? Because it is becoming a huge problem, not just with low-income jobs, but with some of the higher-income skilled jobs as well. Why aren't we hearing anything about this?
It's been that subject has been totally suppressed by the mainstream media until very recently, when, to everybody's shock and delight, the New York Times ran, I believe it was two, possibly three stories on the Disney scandal. And, you know, when the H-1B workers displaced American workers at Disney down in Florida, and the Americans were forced to train their replacements. So that story got a considerable amount of print in a very influential newspaper. The Los Angeles Times ran a story on the SoCal Edison, the Southern California Edison scandal, which was similar in nature. So it's starting to be to filter its way into the mainstream media. But again, I think only because it's just become so in your face that it's impossible to deny it anymore. You know,
well, when you start looking at
back,
they get like medical insurance and all that.
You know, people are sold a bill of goods. We really need these engineers from India and Pakistan and whatever. But now, you know, it's starting, the truth is finally starting to surface. I think next week there's going to be a big demonstration at Abbott Laboratories in Chicago.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about the Abbott deal, because that's really a real good prime example of how this policy is being abused and American workers, what they're being subjected to as a result. I mean, these are folks that have good-paying jobs.
They went to school. They did
everything
the work.
Right. Now talk to us about what they're going through.
It's identical to the Disney case and to the Southern California Edison case in that these workers were advised that effective on a certain date, I guess the 22nd, the
day of
the demonstration. their jobs were going to be terminated, and if they want their, if they wanted to collect their severance, they were going to have to train their foreign H-1B visa replacement.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
So, that's awesome.
I mean, it's so craven and so awful.
That's humiliating.
That it's hard to get your mind around it. I mean, here are these American workers that have families, that have bills to pay, that have been hard-working Abbott employees. You know, they're not being fired for malfeasance or anything like that.
No, they've done their time. They put their
Abbott
time in. They put their time in, and they did everything they were supposed to do. They did a good job.
Well, and it isn't like it's because they're non-performing. It's because they can pay these other guys less. I mean,
Well, not just the pay either.
Abbott is a multi-billion-dollar company, so if anybody wants to take the time to do the math, I mean, the salary savings that they would get by replacing American workers with a H-1B visa worker for $20,000 a year less, it's insignificant. It wouldn't even impact the bottom line at all. So it's just really
talk to
awful.
Us about the tax implications as well.
Well, they don't have to pay the taxes on the H-1B visa salaries, the Social Security and things like that.
Ew.
And it's also got a bad consequence for the American workers who were productive and were earning good incomes, because all of a sudden they're not going to have those incomes. It's going to be very difficult for them to replace those jobs with equally well-paying ones. So they're not going to be paying into the federal taxes or state taxes or local taxes to the same degree, because they're not earning the amount of money that they were when they were working at Abbott. So it's a bad deal all around.
Yeah, and so supporting their home and all the things that require that level of salary won't be happening.
Yeah, and if you read any of the stories from the Disney scandal where one of the fired workers spoke out, I mean, he talked about the terrible sense of helplessness and loss of dignity when you get fired, and all of a sudden you just don't have any real good sense of self. It's beyond comprehension. Of course, this has been going on now since 1990. That's about when the H-1B visa came into existence.
We did have a guy come on the program. It's been a few years ago. I'll have to look for that. But he had quite a bit. He was an attorney out of Southern California, and he was watching this program sort of train wreck. We've got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with... We've got Joe for the whole 2 hours, you know, since... Since we finally got coordinated on time.
There's no shortage of material, that's for sure.
Well, that's what we were thinking.
Go load up on your heart pressure medication, because you're going to need it.
All right, we'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Working man, I wear a steel hard hat. I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I can't get ahead no matter how hard I try. I'm getting really good at barely getting by.
Goes out to all the Disney people. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We've got a ton of information there, and 5 or 6 years of archives. Some of them are on this topic. And we're speaking with Joe Gazzardi today, National Media Director for Californians for Population Stabilization, CAPS. And so before you think it's all about California, just in case some of these nutty things are only happening here, they're coming for you next. So,
oh, yeah.
Forewarned is forearmed. There's our relevance pitch for our folks on the East Coast who think, yeah, those idiots in California. Well, you know, some of these ideas tend to go across the country. What do you see on that front, Joe? Is this limited to any particular area, or is this just because?
No, unfortunately not. There's been indications all over the United States that these kinds of ideas that are hurtful for American workers and therefore hurtful to American communities are accelerating. Now, not too long ago, I wrote about New York State, which has decided that it thinks it's a great idea to let illegal immigrants teach in the public school system. And this is an idea that's been knocked around for a while. It's in effect in Denver. And what happens, unfortunately, is that Latino legislators in other states take a look and they say, oh, wow, look what they're doing in New York. Wouldn't that be great if we could get our illegal immigrant population involved in teaching American kids? And that's how it begins to spread.
How do they account for the lack of teaching credentials that,
well,
you know, American
that
workers
part
are supposed to have? I mean, do they have to have the same credentials to get to replace?
Well, they do have to have the same credentials, but the issue should be that, look, you're not, for whatever reason, you're not in the United States legally. You're not authorized to work, and you certainly should not be authorized to work as a teacher in a public school system where you are probably very likely to slip into teaching in Spanish, you know, that you're going to have, no matter where you are, you're probably going to have a large non-English-speaking population in your classroom. So an instructor slips into teaching in Spanish, possibly injects some political perspectives into his classrooms. It's just a horrible idea, but it's the kind of thing where people, again, these legislators say, oh, well, you know, these are good people, and they want to contribute, and they want to hold jobs, and blah, 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 and people buy into it. People buy into it. When the response should be, look, you are going to be able to teach in the public school system when you are legally authorized to be in the United States. Now, some of these people may have been deferred action recipients and have work permits through that program, but to me, that argues to the folly of a program like that, for President Obama to through an executive action say, look, we're going to grant temporary residency to hundreds of thousands of young adults, and we're going to give them work permits, then ending up in the workforce is a logical extension of that kind of a program.
It gets right back to the whole dreamers mentality. We just can't deny these folks once they're here. Is that?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're dreamers, and I mean, there have been incidents, I can't recall the specifics of them now, but there have been dreamers that have been arrested on capital charges. So you just can't make a statement that they're all here with the betterment of the United States in mind.
No, because we've done programs. I think the dad that we had on the program whose son was shot, Jamil.
Yeah.
Jamil Shaw, yes. Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah. Was that guy? Did that guy qualify for that program? One of these really egregious ones, the guy was one of the dreamers. So that could.
I'm not sure whether he qualified go back and check. Or not. I can't recall. But I've met Jamil several times when we're both back in Washington, D.C. for immigration-related events, and he's been, continues to be in the news while all of these arguments about what to do with illegal immigrants are playing out in the Capitol. But, again, you know, just imagine some illegal alien gangbanger shoots your son dead on the street when the kid is, what, a block away from his
house? Yeah, he was like three houses away.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So what pushback do you get for the most part? You're just a, you know, besides the usual, you're a bigot and a hater and blah, blah, blah. But what sort of legitimate arguments do you have to tackle on this particular?
Oh, legitimate arguments?
Yeah. I mean, people who mean well that aren't just, you know, ideologically blinded dopes.
Well, I mean, anybody who argues the opposite side, I don't think has a legitimate argument.
Because it starts off with illegal.
Hey, I was trying to be nice.
Yeah. I mean, the typical ones are, well, you know, we need to be more accepting and we need to be more tolerant and the United States...
Well, stop with the whole illegal thing, you know. I mean, that just labels everybody. It's,
we gloss over the illegal part and then all that.
Undocumented. I mean, it's not illegal.
Yeah, right. They're undocumented. And
yeah.
And it's really, little, I think...
A little detail.
It's hard for the other side to make an intellectual argument that against what the enforcement position is. I mean, it's hard to say, well... You know, we really should just let our borders be open, and we should just let people come and take jobs, and
it'll all even out.
All their kids in school and tap into the medical system, the hospital systems. I mean, it's just not an argument that can be intellectually defended. I mean, it can be to some degree emotionally defended, but when you get right down to the facts, and certainly. When you get down into the total numbers of people that we talked about in the first segment, or the costs involved in this kind of thing, that ends all arguments. You know, we did a study at Californians for Population on the cost of educating immigrants in California's K-12 system. At least, okay, emphasis on at least. $10 billion a year.
Wow.
There are 1.4 million non-English speakers in California's K-12 system. So what I did for the sake of the study was I kind of grouped them in three different categories of legal immigrants, illegal immigrants, and American citizen anchor babies. But... The common denominator for all three groups is that they are immigrants. So you've got that population of 1.4 million non-English speakers in the school system, assuming about $10,000 a year to educate each student. You've got 14 billion. So, you know, I rounded it down to 10 just to make it a little more, to give a little cushion to the figure, but that's where you are. And that's every year. That's every year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. And double wow, now that we know that Jerry Brown's budget has been exposed as being, what is it, $175 billion in the red or something? And they were not, Sacramento was not counting the... deferred obligations on pensions and things like that, and they were, every year they were coming out with this supposed surplus, but now that the state accountants are demanding that they include those future liabilities, it looks like the budget is in a deficit to the tune of about, I forget what it is, but tens of billions of dollars.
Yeah, and yeah, it always was. It never was correct, because they've always done that. They've always thrown things out to make it look like, oh, look, we have this huge surplus, so now we can spend
more
money.
We can give more money away.
Yeah, we can finance this and we can finance this and that, and you know, we can take money away from this project. And well, didn't they just get? I think they're under investigation now for using federal funds to analyze the whole pipe, the giant tunnel thing he wants to build. He used a bunch of federal money to explore that, and I think that was highly illegal. But that's what they do.
Well, he used state money to explore fracking on his own ranch, so why stop, you know, why stop
well,
there?
That might be a good thing, because if he can do it on his own ranch, maybe we can do it in all of California.
Yeah, but that's, yeah. No, but see, that's bad if you do it there. It's only good if you do it on your own ranch where you're going to make the money, and that's only if nobody finds out about it. A lot of caveats. You got a lot of rules there.
Yeah.
So we need to take one more quick break.
What was I thinking?
I'm gonna slap Bill around during the break and see if I can get him thinking correctly.
I know it. I'm trying to get logical.
He's not got his government, his little government thinking cap on there. You are listening.
Jerry Brown.
I know. It only gets more special if you go to Oregon and you have the other Brown. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll be back with Joe Gazzardi. We're going to talk about illegal immigration today. Still doesn't know Spanish. Now we all know. Oh, Bob.
Hey, all you dreamers in the front.
All together now. Just about the time we get all angry, there's a musical break. And then we're happy again. Welcome to the roller coaster ride that is We the People Radio. We are here with Joe Gazzardi. I can't say it without laughing because I keep hearing that song in my head. Ha.
Yeah, well, you'll get over it.
It'd be. So, you know, Joe, the cost of this is something that we talk about, but for some reason the other side never hears. Got any insight on why that is?
Simply because they refuse to acknowledge the reality of these kinds of things. I mean, the costs are one example, possibly the best example, but take a look at Jerry Brown's last campaign. He was dwelling on ending income inequality. Well, how exactly do you propose to end income inequality when you continue to invite extremely poor people who have very limited job skills, people who don't speak English, into California?
Well,
remember about a year and a half ago when the governor from Mexico visited, the president of Mexico, rather, and Brown said, well, we invite everybody from Mexico, whether they're documented or not, to come to California. And there was a lot of applause and you know, jubilation over that. But look, if you want to be serious about ending income inequality, the best place to start would be limiting immigration, without any question of a doubt about that.
So again, not inviting them all over here and then raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, that's the wrong approach.
And giving them all
Have
driver's
they been lying
license,
to me again?
And giving them all driver's
all of that,
licenses
right.
where
driver's
they
licenses,
yeah.
Dream yeah. Act, college tuition, the Trust Act.
What's
all
that?
All of those things. That sends a very clear message, not only south of the border, but to nations around the world, to people who live around the world. Hey, California is the place to be. And that's just something that California cannot afford to do. You know, the State Department of Finance issued its projections for California's population by 2050, 50 million people. That's about 25% more people than we have now. So try to imagine those California highways and those schools and those hospitals with 25% more people trying to access them. That's going to be some kind of a nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a huge nightmare. And
well, that's another variable. You know, you were talking just a minute ago about why isn't cost ever factored in to the equation when people are analyzing immigration. But I would add to that population. I mean, obviously, population increases in direct proportion to the numbers of immigrants that come. And referring back to the Pew Hispanic or the Pew Research study of a few weeks ago, 88% of the nation's population growth between today and 2050 will come from immigrants and their descendants. Those are the exact words, the exact quote from that study. Your listeners can research it online. Just Google Pew Research Center Population Projections 2050.
And are they talking about immigrants who come here legally or illegally or the whole shoot and match?
Well, all immigration. So when you think of what the consequences are, of both fiscally and environmentally, and you think how relatively simple it would be to at least start to bring this under control, it's really mind-boggling that this administration and previous ones, you know, we can't forget that, have done so little. You know, bulk up the border, return to at least occasional internal enforcement. You know, when the ICE agents would go around and go to job sites, workplace enforcement. And most mystifying of all is the complete disinterest of Congress to pass mandatory E-Verify. That would be huge if they would just do that.
How big a, I guess two things. How quickly do you think it would change and how big of a change would it be? Just the E-Verify implementation.
I think a change would start relatively quickly. I think within a few months you would see people who come here with the idea in mind that they're going to be able to get a job. So I think that would start to take effect almost immediately. You would go to apply for a job and get that job, and then your employer would check the information that you've given him against the Social Security database to see if it matches, and if it doesn't match, then the employer knows that you are not either a citizen or a legal immigrant, and you're not qualified to hold that job. So you would be fired. And I think once a few people started to get fired, it would have an immediate effect. I don't know how much of an effect, but I would say that it would be a growing one, you know, just as if the federal government started to deport people. If there were actual incidents where people were deported, you would see a turnaround. Instead, nobody's deported.
No.
You know,
well, they always say that
aliens aren't deported. So the message gets out, hey, the United States doesn't enforce its immigration
sure.
laws. We got to go to the United States. If you want to take a really good specific example, I love bringing this up. You know all these maternity hotels, birth tourism, and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
If the United States were to send ICE agents to those places, and they have done it a couple of times, but arrest these women who have clearly violated the visa laws. They've lied on their visa applications. That is justification for immediate deportation. Okay, so detain these women. You could say to them, all right, you came to the United States to have an American citizen child. Looks like you're 7 months pregnant. You're going to have the child here, okay, but you're going to have it in a federal detention center. And then, as soon as the doctor says the woman is cleared to travel, the baby is cleared to travel, back they go. Do that a few times, and the birth tourism industry would end in no time.
How big is that?
Like, oh, huge.
Is it?
Huge. Yeah, huge. I mean, they're all over. They're all over California, and they're in New York. I think most of them are in California and New York. But again, you know, there were only one or two or three of them 15 years ago. Now there's hundreds of them.
And is that because they just don't enforce or you know, show up at those places and crack down? I mean, is that obviously the,
yeah,
that there's
that's
no...
that's exactly why.
Yeah,
there was
no
a raid in Southern California a couple of months ago, and I'm not sure what the ultimate consequences of that were. But, yes, I mean, all they would have to do, all the ICE agents would have to do is go into these places and say, show me your visa. And lying on a visa is a crime. So these visas say, well, I'm here to go to Disneyland. That's what? If you're here, you know, most people who come to Disneyland check in at the Marriott or the Hyatt or whatever it is,
right,
and they check in fairly close to Disneyland, and that's kind of the sequence of events. But these women are checking into things that are clearly set up to provide services for women in the advanced stages of pregnancy, and they have no real trappings of a legitimate hotel. So there's no question that there's lying going on.
I'm sure, because I guess I don't think I've ever seen a seven-month pregnant woman on Magic Mountain. I mean, doing the...
it's against the rules.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all part
there.
Of the same awful system that... the same immigration free-fall that we've been in for all of the years of the Obama administration. We were talking a little bit ago about whether there's a growing awareness among all Americans of what a pounding we're taking on immigration. The New York Times, again, the New York Times, about a year ago did a story called The Fraud in Asylum Cases. And basically the Times said that asylum fraud is an industry. They were referring to Chinatown, the Chinatown section of New York. And they went on to say that something like 90% of these visa applications are fraudulent.
Wow.
You know, 90%.
Wow. And why are they not catching that at the time that they fill these visas out? Or
is it just
not,
they don't want to?
It's not against the law until they get the visa and break the rule?
Yeah, I mean, they'll say, well, I have credible fear of violence back home, or I'm in an abusive relationship with my spouse.
So you have to move to another country?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Dang.
First of all, that's hearsay, right? You say, I'm in an abusive relationship with my spouse. Well, let's get your spouse into the room here and see what he has to say about it. But so it's hearsay, and certainly, Aaron, that's exactly the case. I mean, if you're in an abusive relationship, you don't have to move halfway across.
Yeah, got to move to America.
Well, isn't it true
it all starts from the top down, and that's it. You know, we've read stories that the Border Patrol say they have been told by their superiors not to detain illegal aliens.
But
catch
isn't
and release. Their superiors have been told by their superiors, who ultimately have been told by Obama, probably.
Right.
Hey, lay off.
Now, isn't it true that, you know, we all focus on...
leading
on,
witness.
No. we all focus on, you know, the illegal traffic coming across the border and people, you know, coming into the country that way. But isn't the vast majority of illegal aliens in this country, aren't the majority of them people that overstay visas, actually come in legally and then overstay?
Right, yes, yes. I don't know whether it's the majority or not, but it's probably at least half, you know. So it may well be the majority, but whatever it is, it's a significant percentage. And a few weeks ago, there was a hearing, Senate hearing, I think, and one of the senators asked this ICE director, Sarah Saldana, well, you know, what goes on with these visa overstayers? And she said, well, we don't know where they are. And so the same senator said, well, would it be correct to say that you don't know where they are because you're not looking for them? Well, yes. So, I mean, obviously, you know, if somebody is missing and you're not looking for them, that person would have to be very unlucky to be found out. And even if he were found, he most certainly would not be deported. He's not a priority.
Well,
he's not a priority in the Obama administration for deportation.
But they say that Obama's deported more people. You know, there's always that thing thrown out there. He's deported more people than anyone else.
Total lie.
Total lie. I mean, but I'd love to know how they arrive at that. Bob, do we have to take one more quick break? We do. Got to squeeze in one more break before the top of the hour. But when we come we come back, can you explain why that is a lie? And
of course.
Besides, I mean, what are they using to make it seem credible?
Well, they just have to say it.
I mean, that's what gets you. Just say it a lot.
Say it, and then it's true.
Say it a whole bunch.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back.
Oh, sure. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. That is not a lie.
When I get tired and a little lonely, the world's turned its cold back on me. But I'm about to swear, I ain't got a friend left to my name. Instead of sinking a little lower, I start making tracks on over to a place where the sun shines day and night, and where I know I'll hear you say, come on in, baby, take your coat off. Come on in, baby, take your coat off. Come on.
Please come to L.A. to live forever. California life alone is just too hard to feel. I live in a house that looks out over the ocean, and there's some stars that fell from the sky and living up on.
Oh, we can take perfectly good music and ruin it for you.
She just said no.
That was us.
Boy, won't you come home to me? And she said, hey, rambling boy, why don't you settle down?
Joe, what do we do with this kind of thing, honestly? Oops, better give him some sound. We got Joe on mute. Hey, Joe, what do you think? Oh, sorry, you're on mute. Oh, my gosh. So, we have folks have to hang with us through the news break for the second hour. What are we talking about, second hour?
We were talking about Obama as the deporter in chief.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one already.
One of the great things about the commercial breaks from the guest's point of view is it gives me a couple of minutes to scramble around for just the right story, because when you read as many immigration stories as I do, it's kind of hard to keep them all straight. But in 2014, 2 years ago, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson admitted that the department's deportation numbers are mostly illegal immigrants caught at the border.
Oh, really?
Now, there's a big difference between returns from the border and removals from the interior. A true deportation is a removal from the interior.
Those
so
are
what the
who
Obama
got
administration
border.
Was doing, and what Johnson admitted to, is they had added border returns to removals from the interior to get that very inflated number.
Yeah. So again, it's not a true
number.
It's a
lie. And, big surprise.
Yeah. We have to really dig a little deeper to get the true story. Joe, we'll be right back. We got to take a hard break. When we come back, let's dig into that a little bit further.
WeThePeopleRadio.us.